Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvajankacharya Astarasata Sri Sri Mata's Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 12, Creation of the Kumaras and Others. Text 6. Sovadyata Sutair Evam Pratyakya Tananushashanai Krodham Durvishaham Jatam Niyantam Upachakrame. So vadyata sutarevam. Pratyakya tanushasanai. Krodham durvishaham jatam. Niyantra Mupachakrame. Sovadyata Sutarevam. Pratyakya Tanushashanai. Krodham Durvishaham Jatam. Niyantra Mupachakrame. So vadyata sutarevam pratyakya tanushashanai krodham durvishaham jatam niyantam upachakrame. Vaishnavis. Sham Shatam Niyatam Nukachakrame Savadyata Sutarevam Pratyakya Tanu Shashanai Kodam Jurvi Sham Shatam Niyantam upachakrame Saha hi Brahma avadyataha. Thus being disrespected, sutahai by the sons, evam thus, pratyakyata refusing to obey, anushasanai, the order of their father, krodam, anger, durvishaham, too much to be tolerated, jatam, thus generated, niyantum, to control. Upachakrame tried his best. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. On the refusal of the sons to obey the order of their father, there was much anger generated in the mind of Brahma, which he tried to control and not express. Purport. Brahma is the director in charge of the mode of passion of material nature. Therefore, it was natural for him to become angry on the refusal of his sons to obey his order. Although the Kumaras were right in such acts of refusal, Brahma, being absorbed in the mode of passion, could not check his passionate anger. He did not express it, however, because he knew that his sons were far enlightened in spiritual advancement, and thus he should not express his anger before them. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurad Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Har Sivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, this topic of anger is very interesting. Sometimes people that Srila Prabhupada was speaking to were kind of objecting to the idea that God could be angry. But Srila Prabhupada said, Jadmad Yasya Yataha. That's quoting from the Vedanta Sutra and the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. It means Krishna is the source of everything. If we have anger, where did we get it from? Ultimately, the source is Krishna. But there's a difference between the two things. Just like Srila Prabhupada very often said, just like in this world, we see there's attraction between boy and girl and some other attractions as well. But why is that there? It's there because it's ultimately in Krishna. On the cover, I think, of one of the original books, there, I think it was Krishna book, there was a picture of Radha and Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada wrote in his introduction, you know, people ask, who is the girl with Krishna? So he explains it's a personification of his pleasure potency. But we also see that on the spiritual level of reality, there are manifestations of anger between Radha and Krishna, different gopis and Krishna. You know, sometimes they manifest some transcendental anger in their relationships. In the nectar devotion, the path of transcendental loving affairs, in that conjugal rasa is described as like the movements of a snake. You know, sometimes it's going this way, sometimes that way. Sometimes there's anger, sometimes there's making up. There's anger with cause, without cause. So that's all on spiritual level reality. That those same tendencies, however, are reflected in the jiva souls in the world of matter, but in a perverted way. We misuse these tendencies for selfish, egotistical purposes. But ultimately it comes from Krishna, and everything, if properly engaged in Krishna's service, can be purified. In other words, the tendency to love is there, but if we focus that tendency to love on Krishna and everything in relationship to Krishna in the proper way, then that's the perfection of that tendency. And also, anger can be employed in Krishna's service. I have to confess, it's been a long time. I can't remember the last time I was actually angry. But it does happen. It's stated many times in the Shastras that if one is attacked or verbally or in some other way, oneself, one shouldn't become angry. But if someone attacks another devotee, then, you know, that anger should be there. So, in the material sense, it's Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna, Samudbhavaha. Because of the mode of passion, being in contact with the mode of passion, we become victims of kama, material desire. And when our material desires are frustrated, we become angry. If we think something belongs to us, it's ours to use, and someone else takes it, then become angry. You know, whether it's wealth or a spouse or something or other, if some object or thing that one believes one possesses, one has a right to, one has, just like Lord Brahma here, he believes I'm the father of the Kumaras, I have a right to expect, you know, they should follow my order. They should do as I desire. So that can often be a source of anger when children don't do as they're expected. So this comes from being in contact with the mode of passion. And from passion comes kama or material desire. And when material desires are frustrated, then comes anger. But again, it can be engaged in Krishna's service, and even Krishna's pure devotees, they sometimes manifest anger. Like once, this happened in the case of Srila Prabhupada. Once some devotees brought a professor from a university to see Srila Prabhupada. And they were introduced, and you know, Srila Prabhupada said, "Well, I hear you're a professor at the university. What do you teach?" And the man was an Indian man. He was at Temple University in Philadelphia. He said, "I teach Hinduism." And Srila Prabhupada said to him, "What's Hinduism?" And the man said, "I don't know." So Srila Prabhupada said, "What, you don't know and you're teaching?" And he said, Srila Prabhupada said, "This is Dr. Singh, his disciple, Swarup Damodar at the time, who had a PhD in molecular biology or something like that. Here is Dr. Singh. He's a PhD. He's qualified and competent. Let's ask him what he thinks." So he said, what do you think? You know, we've got somebody here who's claiming to be a teacher of something, and he says he doesn't know anything about it." And Swarup Damodar said, "Cheater. Cheater." And then Srila Prabhupada said to him, to the man, "See, you've been called a cheater. How do you reply to that?" And then it became a very angry kind of exchange, because the man was saying, "Well, you teach me, you know, what Hinduism is or what religion is." And Sri Prabhupada said, "I'm not going to teach you unless you surrender to me like my disciples." Because that's how you get knowledge. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshanaha. You know, Srila Prabhupada was explaining, there has to be surrender. And then the man said, the professor said, "What do you mean by surrender?" Prabhupada said, "What do you mean? What do I mean by surrender? Get a dictionary. Somebody bring me a dictionary." And the man said, No. "I don't want to know the English definition. I want to know the Sanskrit etymological derivation of the term surrender." And then Srila Prabhupada said to him, "You don't want a guru or a spiritual master. You want a Sanskrit teacher." I mean, not to diminish the importance of Sanskrit teachers, but you know, in terms of what they were really discussing. That was the point. So afterwards, I mean, the professor was escorted out by Brahmananda Prabhu, who was a very hefty, very loyal and dedicated servant of Srila Prabhupada's. So he was escorted away, and the devotee who had invited and brought him said he apologized to Srila Prabhupada, saying, "I didn't realize this guy was such a rascal. You know, I thought he was a little better." But even myself, you know, some years ago, I was doing college preaching here in L.A. It was at one of the big universities. I forget if it was UCLA or USC. I was kind of walking behind two professors. I was going from one place to another on campus. And I could hear them talking as they were walking in front of me. They said, "The students are just so naive, you know, so trusting. You know, they sit in class as if we know anything, you know, for sure, you know." And the other professor was kind of laughing, "Yeah, that's kind of how it is." You know, so they were saying the same thing, you know, the teaching without really knowing anything. So the devotees said after this incident, the particular devotees who were involved anyway, said they'd never seen Srila Prabhupada so angry at a person for claiming to teach something about the essence of religion while confessing he doesn't know anything about it. So this emotion of anger, it's something that we all have to deal with, maybe some more than others, but it's a transcendental, it's ultimately a transcendental feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything comes from him. If we have something, it has to come from somewhere. So it comes ultimately from Krishna, but in a perverted way. So part of our practice of devotional service is to learn how to deal with these urges, that these emotional urges that influence us. In the material sense, if one is indulging in these emotions like anger, the next step, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, is bewilderment of the intelligence. Under the influence of anger, you can't make proper decisions. And one often causes difficulty, more difficulty, and creates more problems for oneself and others and for the society of devotees if one acts in an uncontrolled way, pursuing and indulging anger. So, and then from bewilderment of intelligence, then comes destruction. You know, one really just destroys oneself, you know, on that basis. So it's something we should try to control in our relationships with each other. You know, this force of anger, because things do happen. It's like Brahma here, you know, he's trying to control his anger. He's trying to control it, but we'll see that he's not really successful in controlling it, but it's still part of his path of devotional service. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Thank you for a very interesting class. So it's mentioned that Lord Brahma is being influenced by the mode of passion, but at the same time, like, Lord Brahma is a very highly intelligent person, and you know, earlier we've already heard prayers he's offered to Lord Krishna. You know, he's very articulate, and he's also, it's also mentioned that he appreciates the exalted position of his sons. He appreciates that they're very spiritually elevated persons, and that's why he doesn't want to express his anger before them. But how come it doesn't, to the best of my memory, he doesn't even attempt to preach to them? How come? Is any?
I think he did try to persuade them to do the right thing. but I've always taken it on the basis of statements from Srila Prabhupada that this is meant to show us that, and the example of Brahma is there to demonstrate to us that even if one has some big position in devotional service and is very articulate and, you know, apparently very knowledgeable, able to, you know, speak in philosophical terms very nicely, it doesn't mean that they can't be influenced. So sometimes, you know, Krishna puts his devotees in the position of demonstrating these things by kind of making a play. Like when, you know, somebody puts together a movie or a novel or something, they make characters and they do certain things because they're trying to get across the message. It's not that the actor who's playing the role of the good guy or the bad guy is really that, something else. But in terms of the play, plays a certain role, like Arjuna. It's an eternal associate of Krishna, a pure devotee, but for the sake of instructing us, he is made to play a certain role on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Satchitanari?
So it appears also, Prabhu, that a particular mode of nature influences more a lot. Like, for example, the Kshatriyas, they cannot be that tolerant. Kshatriyas, we see in our very literatures how they react, while the Brahmanas sometimes they're a little bit more, they're more controlled, except maybe we heard about Durvasa Muni, who was very famous for, he would scare everyone when he would go to any place, because if they will say the inappropriate thing, they will be curse. So maybe you can speak about that if you...
I don't know too much more. Durvasa Muni?
Durvasa Muni, famous for being easily angered.
Yeah.
But he's a Brahmin. And then we have Kshatriyas, who actually is understood, you know, their nature is totally different. They are... The mode of passion is in there. It's not expected a lot of times to be like relaxed, calm down, look at the scriptures, and in some cases, yes, but...
What about Parasaram? Was he also born in a Brahmin
no.
family?
Parasaram?
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay, yeah. Well, another example would be Parasaram.
Yes.
You know, who became angry.
Angry. Yeah.
And then it's, what is it? It's Lord Sankarshan at the bottom of the universe in the form of Shesha becomes angry at us, the conditioned souls in this material world, because we're not taking advantage of the human form of life to go back home, back to Godhead. You know, people are neglecting that. The conditioned souls are neglecting that. And it's a fire of annihilation comes from his many hoods. So, yes. Or Lord Chaitanya became angry at Jagai and Madhai. But, Maharaj?
Thanks for a wonderful class, Dhruta Karma Prabhu. I just want to add something, not much. We have to understand that there are two kinds of anger. There is real anger, and there is false anger. Okay? So real anger comes from the fact that you're identifying yourself with your body. You feel that the body is some way being threatened or upset or disturbed, and therefore you respond in an angry fashion, because you feel that your body is going to be harmed or hurt or disturbed. So that's real anger. In other words, you really feel it. Srila Prabhupada appeared to feel it, but he didn't. Actually, he had no real anger. He had, because he was never identified with his material body. Therefore, he didn't have any anger, but he could affect, A-F-F-E-C-T, the feelings of an angry person in order to achieve or attain a particular effect from the devotees. And in so doing, he would achieve that effect that was necessary to accomplish what he wanted to. So, therefore, a person who is identified with his body will feel real anger, because he feels that he is the body and he can be affected, he can be disturbed, he can be killed. But a high advanced devotee doesn't, he's not identified with his physical body. And he knows he can't be killed. He knows he can't be really affected. He knows he can't be disturbed, because he is not the body. The body is something that is here today and gone tomorrow. But he knows he's the soul, which is eternal, ever-existing, primeval. He knows he's that, and knowing he's that, therefore, he can never be affected. And if he cannot be affected, then he has nothing to worry about, and therefore he may present the appearance of anger if necessary, or he may not have the appearance of anger because he's really not angry according to the time, place, and circumstances. So the important point to remember that an advanced devotee does not feel anger with it. Anger comes from the position that I am this body, I can be killed, I can be upset, I can be disturbed, and therefore I respond in an angry fashion. But a person, again, I'm just summarizing now, a person who has no, who is not identified with his body, knows he's the soul, knows he's eternal, knows he's ever-existing, he has no reason to be angry because he knows he's eternal. If you know you're eternal, no need to be angry. But if you don't know you're eternal, but you think you're limited or transitory, short-lived, then you have a reason to be upset. So that's basically the idea. An advanced soul inwardly is never upset, although he may affect, he may pretend, he may act. Prabhupada was never, one moment he would be very angry, and next moment it was as if nothing had happened. How was that? Because he was not really angry, but he was trying to produce for that devotee to whom he was angry towards, the feeling that this was something wrong, something that should not be done, something should be avoided because it was against Vedic principles in some manner or form. So that's basically what we have to understand. We have to ask ourselves, am I really being angry? If I am, then I am identified with my body. I think I am the body. And if I'm not upset, not disturbed, not shaken, then I'm not identified with the body because of the fact that I know that I cannot be hurt. It's all based on the idea that I can be hurt. And once you know you can't be hurt because you're eternal, you're immortal, you're ever-existing, then there's no need for anger, although you may pretend it in order to achieve some effect on particular individuals who are acting incorrectly or wrongly. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Bhagavati. And then this will be the last one.
I agree with Maharaj said. I mean, I think there is, like, it's true that there's the real anger. Somebody's feeling anger due to being influenced by the motive, passion. And then this, the pure devotee acting as if he's angry in order to get a particular result, you know, to discipline somebody or to chastise it. But I'm also under the impression that sometimes a pure devotee can really feel angry. That's the impression I'm under. I'd like clarification. Like in the Nectar of Devotion, it talks about how if a devotee sees like the spiritual master being blasphemed or the Supreme Lord being blasphemed, he becomes angry like fire. There even is the example of Prabhupada with Mr. Nair, you know, when he was yelling at him. I kind of really feel that he was really angry, feeling angry. It wasn't just like a role playing in order, to as a means to an end. He was actually, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that anger. I think that goes along with what you were saying in the class about the origin of everything is in the Supreme. You know, so the real anger. I mean, there's contaminated anger, anger contaminated by the mode of nature, passion, but there can also be transcendental anger, and you actually are feeling angry. But I might be wrong. So that's why I'm asking you to please clarify this position.
Okay, I'll say something briefly, and then we'll go to Nikatma. I think anger is one of the sub-rasas. You know, the primary rasas, and then there's the seven sub-rasas. So it's a part of spiritual existence, but we are just familiar with the material reflection of it. Nikatma?
Thank you. Thank you for the very wonderful class. I just wanted to add on to Brigapati Prabhu's comment about anger and how it can be real. We'll hear about that on Friday when we talk about Advaita Acharya, who is one of the Panchatattva, that there are accounts of him getting so angry that the certain scholars that he spoke to fell unconscious. So there is anger, but it's, to add on to Maharaj's comment, that it can be transcendental, but it's an emotion that's real.
Okay, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.